Today I'm going to talk about our favorite subject. Everybody loves to talk about this subject, I think. Sex. No, I'm sorry. No, it's work. Title of my message is Get to Work. Throughout scriptures, God instructs us to work and not be lazy. You know, I had my parents were concerned about me. I didn't like working. I really didn't. I mean, I'd rather go out, play, and do all that stuff. When my friends had spring breaks, they went to different places and stuff. You know what I did? I worked. I went and picked up cans on a job site. And, you know, out in California, you get a whole lot more for it. At a young age, and then when I got to that age where I can actually start working, then I was carrying studs for my dad, and then I was able to hammer and use the hammer and nails and stuff, and then the nail gun, and then I was able to cut later on. But they always put me to work, and good parents will discipline their kids in order to work. I do a lot of door dashing on the side. And I see a lot of, we're hiring. There's really no excuse. I don't want to go out and work. I said, there's jobs out there, but I just don't want to do that. So this is more geared towards the younger generation, and just to be more diligent in working. In today's culture, young people don't want to work. They don't. For whatever reason, they don't want to work. They have every excuse in the world not to, but with all seriousness, business people need workers. And it doesn't have to be your career, but for the summer, for a side job, or what have you, if there's nothing there that the Lord hasn't given you to do or what have you, work. Get a job. It's out there. And here's the thing, the pay is a whole lot better now. And you're still living in your mom's house, your mom and dad's house. You don't have to pay rent. The pay's pretty good. How many remember working for a quarter? Not me, but I'm just saying. Randy, you work for a quarter? Some people say, I work for free. My goodness. What's that? Babysat for a quarter. And I'm talking about for hours, too. All day long. $1.25. The pay is great for the work you need. So there's really no excuse. Proverbs 12:11 says this, a hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Not just talking about any worker. A hard worker will have plenty of food. We are very fortunate to have our government that helps to feed people and give them food stamps and things of that nature, because people do fall on hard times and what have you. And I get that. I get that. But the thing about it is that if you're able to work, the fruit of that and relying upon the government will produce idleness in your life to where you wouldn't want to go out and work on your own. And people are thinking, I hit the jackpot because I got a stack of, wait a minute, that's from other people. If you're able to work, work. And God may open up another door for something for you down the road and what he's really called you to do, but it's important to get working rather than just sitting back with idle hands, because poverty will come upon you swiftly. And then when it gets to that place, you don't ever want to get up out of it. You won't understand anything else. You just know how to get over the system and just continue to be idle. There's people who is doing hard work, paying into that, so that those who actually need it can use it. Well, we don't want to abuse it, okay? The Bible teaches against that. God wants you working. He wants you laboring, not just on your job, but also in the Word. He wants us laboring the word. Those who truly need government help, we're happy to help. The disabled, I love helping the elderly, senior citizens. And I also love seeing them out in Walmart. Sometimes they're greeting. They're working. You talk to some people who are retired. I said, how's retirement? Horrible. They've been working all their life, and now they're retired, and it's like, I ain't got nothing to do. So they go out and get another job. Why? They like working. It was instilled in them. They had to work. You know, back then, they didn't have enough jobs, and they were wanting to work. Now we got too many jobs, and nobody wants to work. We've created dependency upon government rather than upon God. And don't get me wrong, I grew up in a video game age. I had a friend that had arcades in his garage, and we'd go hang out, and we play wiffle ball throughout the summer and stuff like that, wiffle ball tournaments. We had a great time, but we still had to work. And if you're choosing to do those types of things instead of work, there's the problem. Don't allow your hobby to be your job, okay? Proverbs 12:24 says this, work hard and become a what? Be lazy and become a, that kind of sums it up. When you're a slave, you're forced to work. When your parents have to force you to work, that's a slave mentality. But leaders or people who work hard will become leaders. See, you might be working, a person might be working several jobs, different jobs all across the board. Well, why are you doing that? I said, don't you trust him? Can't you rely on God? You can rely on God and just have one job. I said, or what if God is setting you up to be a regional manager of all those other jobs that you have? When you have a hard-working mentality, God will open up those doors. He's the one that gets promotion. And he doesn't open up doors for lazy people. It's kind of hard to open up a door when you're just sitting at home. Just open up your front door and now your car door and now the grocery store door and get an application. Open up doors. The 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says this, even while we were with you, that's the Apostle Paul talking, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Paul not only gave this command, but he demonstrated it. He didn't just say it, he demonstrated it. His hands were not idle among the people. He was working. He was putting in that work. You go somewhere, you help out. You put in the work. I go to visit my family. I'll help out if I can. If I need to go and do some chores and take my mom somewhere or go as much as, I mean, they carry they shoulder the load for the most part. So if I'm there for a week and I can help out just a little bit, I'll do it. You need to pick up some medicine, I'll go do it. But if you don't work, and if I don't do that, my mom won't make those egg pies that I love. And that fried chicken and stuff like that and collard greens. Y'all know collard greens? Y'all ever heard of it? Yeah. Whew, they have collard greens here? Okay, she's coming in July, so got to put her to work. Because I don't want her hands to be idle. I want them to be in the kitchen making me some pies. That's fine. No vacation for you. No, that's fine. He wasn't referring to people who wanted to work and couldn't find any, but was referring to those who refused to work when the opportunities were there. Faith without works, especially when dealing with the reality of people who truly needs help and can't buy any food. Faith without works is dead. So we got to have works attached to our faith when it comes to giving other people. What good is it to quote somebody in scripture when they're standing there and they're needing help? I'm hungry. I'm starving. I need some food. Well, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom. God bless you. That doesn't satisfy them. That doesn't help them. They needed some food. I seen one guy years ago. He said, I didn't give it to him. But I mean, I just laughed at his sign. He goes, why lie? Need a beer. All right. At least you're honest. I don't think I was old enough to buy him a beer, but I mean, quoting a scripture isn't going to help him. We got to put our faith to work. It's kind of like the Good Samaritan. You know, I had the privilege of helping a family out years ago, and unfortunately something had happened where they gotten into an altercation. And I told them I would help put them in a hotel for a couple of days and stuff like that. So, because they were needing help with the energy bill, which was way above my pay grade. And, but when I got to them, she had ended up going to the police station and had to spend a night there and stuff. And so as a father and a daughter together, and now I got to help them because I told them to. Now I load up all their stuff, bring it out from Shenzhen to Hayes, pay for a room for the week, gave them a case of water, gave them some money. I actually took them to go get job applications as well, bought them some food, gave them some job applications, put those job applications out, and then gave them some money for groceries for the week. If you need anything, call me. What have you. Okay, that's cool. I didn't quote them scripture, but I had to put my faith to action. Faith without works is dead. So do I do that with everybody? No. I do it if the Lord is leading me to do it. And that's the thing. Well, how do I know? I said, well, you don't ever know that you're going to be entertaining a stranger or an angel. So you do it with a good heart. But what if they use it for this? As long as you've done it with a good heart. That's what God is looking at. Don't follow it. Don't follow that paper trail. Did you give with no strings attached? When you do, you don't have to worry about that. Sow into them, buy them a meal, and maybe even go a step further. If you have time, invite them to sit at your table. Now, after you've done that, you can give them some scripture. Not working leads to an idle life, which God opposes. He really opposes idle hands. They refused to work and began meddling in other people's lives. If a person has a lot of time in their hands to get in other people's business, Paul and I have three words for you. Get to work. If I got enough time to get into somebody else's life, I'll go get another job before I do that. I'll be working three jobs, four jobs. Kristen has three now, and she's at work right now. I don't have time for that. It's kind of exhausting, honestly. Wears it down. We have to learn to mind our own business, but sometimes people who live an idle life end up minding everybody else's business. Get to work. Your time is more better well spent on helping others rather than hurting. Well, I'm a pastor and I don't have to work. I'm a pastor, man. I labor in the word and I don't have to work. I said, well, if you're a pastor and you're the biggest gossip in your church, you probably need to get to work. Starting another podcast ain't gonna help you. Because all you're gonna be doing is talking about everybody else's business. Get to work. I talk about what I know because I was there. Can't talk about what I don't know. Get to work and work quietly. Settle down and earn a living. Settle down and earn a living. How many of you, older, the seniors, if you can, with the knowledge that you have right now, will want to go back 50 years? and work again and do things and do life differently, honestly, if you would. The stuff that the knowledge that you have right now that you've learned over the years and starting all over again, would you be able to do it all over again? Just show of hands. Would you? Oh, you'd be killing it. You'd be killing it. Man, I wish I would have known this 10 years ago. Well, you know it now, but 10 years ago would have helped you. You'd be killing it. Young people, take lessons. They got wisdom. They have it. If you sit down and listen to them, they can teach you something. They can teach you the right way rather than cutting corners. They can teach you how to do some good, clean, wholesome, hard work. And that's needed. I love it when I see kids out there with a Kool-Aid stand in the summer heat, just chilling, holding up their sign. They're working. How about when they're going around pushing their mower? They want to mow lawns. There's some of them now want to clean out garbage cans. Boy, that's a good job. You know your garbage cans stink once in a while? And to clean that out for $20, it's a good side business. If you don't want to do the work, somebody else will. Working hard is a choice, and so is choosing to be lazy. But when you choose to work hard, it has rewards. Proverbs 12:14 says this, wise word brings many benefits, and hard work brings what? Reward. Everything a righteous man does, he will receive fruit of what he speaks and will be blessed by the works of his hands. God can't promote you if you're not doing anything. So sitting at home, binge watching Netflix, I have my moments. I'm going to be honest with you. Cobra Kai be killing it, man. I have my moments. But it does not bring promotion. Some will get promoted for being a stool pigeon, but that didn't come from God. The old generation probably knows about being a stool pigeon, right? That doesn't come. Wise words bring many benefits, and hard works brings reward. In Proverbs 6, it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, man, they don't take it easy on you, do? How long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. This is not geared towards my brother over here. 8 o'clock. I am so glad you came. I was like, okay, I'm scrambling. I have an offering message somewhere right here. It's like, thank God for Brandon. But Solomon talks about God's smallest creation, the ant, and how hard the ant works. Just simple instructions from that. From the ant, learning from the ant can lead to great benefits. You never seen an ant say, you know what? I'm going to just take the day off. There's no king ant. There's nobody beating them and telling them. You know, it's not like that cartoon movie, ants and the grasshoppers are trying to steal all their food. It's not anything like that. The ant has no king. There's no king ruling over them, but yet they still work. Everyone does their part. No ant that I can recall is saying, you know what? Nobody's looking. I'm going to go sneak on inside this house. And it might take me a week to do it. But I'm going to go and watch me some TV with some of these owners here and see if I can get some crumbs from the floor and just kind of chill and not work anymore. I don't want to do that. But it's good for us to rest. It's good for us to have a day off. It's good for us to just spend some time with the Lord. We have that privilege. Ants don't. But they say they spend their time storing up food. And actually the purpose of an ant is to help aerate the soil so that water and oxygen can come down to the root of the plant. They don't stop working. So we were created for fellowship with the Father and to rule over what God has created for us, to have dominion over all the earth. But he says, how long will you sleep? You're wasting valuable time sleeping all day long. God has a plan for your life, and you're choosing to waste it by sleeping. So you might be saying, what am I called here to earth? I'm 13 years old. What am I called to do? Well, number one, you're called to serve. You're called to have fellowship with him. And you're here to have dominion over this earth. You're also here to work. God wants to be able to use you to impact the territory that he has placed you in. He wants to be able to use you. Wherever you're at, he wants to be able to use you to impact the territory that he has placed you in. Hard work requires discipline. Now, here's some great quotes about discipline right here from people and from Scripture. It says, my present condition is a result of my past disciplines. Today, I choose my future. By God, by the name of Cape Heart. Today, I choose my future. You can choose your future right now by applying some of these disciplines, these principles in your life. You choose your future. We'll see what you're going to harvest. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, it says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words spoke? God spoke to you as his children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. We sang that song, I am a child of God. So if you are a child of God, God disciplines. He corrects. He instructs. He teaches. God disciplines with righteousness. And as parents, we may not get the full story of what goes down with our children. Does everybody know everything that your children do? Does everyone know that? No, because they probably won't even tell you until later on when they're adults. I remember when they said, you're like, wait a minute, did that happen? When did that happen? Oh, it was a long time ago. Well, you're grounded. No, I was lying. I'm still old enough to ground you. But God goes off of what he sees we do, and what we say, what we do. And his discipline is righteous, because it isn't going to be, oh, well, that's not fair type deal. It's, this is the right thing for you to do. And he doesn't miss a detail. He doesn't ballpark it. He's very, very specific in how he does it. In verse 7, it says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? So don't get hard on yourselves, father, when you discipline your kids. Am I doing the right thing? Yes, you are. You are. And if you're doing it out of love. And I don't know if you ever used that expression before, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Or this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I say the other way. No, it's fine. No. So verse 8, it says, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Every one of God's children gets disciplined, and illegitimate children do not receive any kingdom inheritance. You have kingdom inheritance because you are a child of God. Verse 9 says, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? See, his discipline will save us from hell, save our souls from hell. His discipline will save us from unrighteousness. His discipline will save us from being in the wrong relationships. This discipline will save us from a whole slew of junk that we don't need to go through in life if we allow him to discipline us. In verse 10, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is what? Always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. It is always good for us. We can't get upset and mad and angry at God for if he chooses to discipline us in certain areas in our life. And it says, and no discipline, because here's the thing, no discipline is enjoyable. Who loves discipline? I don't love it when a coach gets on me and is hard. I wouldn't say I don't love it. It's okay back then because I did it myself as a coach. But the reason why they're doing it is because they know you have potential and they're trying to bring it out of you. But you don't love it at the time. Oh, give me more of that. Man, if you don't get out of my ear talking and yelling. But nobody loves it at the time, but later on you learn that was needed to bring the best out of you, not the worst, the best out of you. He says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. There will be a peaceful harvest. When you discipline your children, there will be a peaceful harvest. There won't be, you know, you go into picking them up at the police station every time. Or you're worried in the middle of the night and you don't know where they're at or what have you. And I said, when you discipline your children, it says there will be a peaceful harvest of right living. Kids, don't get upset when your parents discipline you. The results will pay off with great dividends. I don't know about you. I invest a little bit, but I do love stock that gives you dividends. It's kind of nice. When you discipline your children, you're pouring into them week after week, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Later on, you're going to have good dividends, and then you're going to be looking back and say, man, you know what? I'm just so thankful for what God has done in our kids' lives. Look, they got great jobs and what they're doing and what the Lord has them to do. They got great wives and great husbands, and look at their children. They're all so good, too. Look at our grandchildren. We are just blessed. But it started with your discipline. Here's another good quote. Whenever there is pruning in your lives, trust that the gardener is right there with you. Trust that God is right there with you whenever there's pruning in your life. The closer you get to God, the more he will begin to cut out things in your life. So laziness is being one of those things. So if you can discipline yourself to spend time daily with God, you will become more spiritually mature. You will grow in wisdom. You will understand who you are in Christ. Because with God, all things are possible. So, get to work. And before people take that and make it out, oh, he's talking about work and your salvation. No, I'm not going there. Just get to work. This is labor. Get to work. He's loved you enough to equip you with it. He has given you the ability to gain wealth. God's given you that creativeness on the inside of you to do those things he's called you to do, to make a good living or what have you. Get to work. I don't know what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter. Get to work. You could be working here. Moses was farming for 40 years before God called him at 80. Who's the oldest in the church right now? Tom? How old are you? Yes. 56. Can you imagine God calling you to do something at the age of 80? This is what you were born to do. At the age of 80. Some people are thinking, I'm going home to glory. He ain't done with y'all. It's all in your mind. You don't have to be the one walking with the walker. You could be the one skipping. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. A video's just been going through my mind on skipping. I've seen people trying to skip, and some people have forgotten how to skip. Literally, forgotten how to skip. Can I borrow one of your children, Amber? Do they know how to skip, you think? Which girls know how to skip? You know how to skip? Come here. All right. I want you to skip all the way just across there. Ready? Go. almost. He was hiding in it. Try it again, one more time. Okay. That's kind of there. Kind of there. Good job. Anybody else know how to skip? Brandon, you know how to skip? Come on, Devlin. Because we're going to get an adult, and I'm going to say, y'all really going to laugh on this one. There you go. Yep. Good job. Now, who are we going to embarrass? No, I'm sorry. Richard, come up here. It's not to embarrass you. My kids have me do it. And I can skip. You can skip. Here we go. Yes.
I can't do it.
All right. That's all right. I mean, you from Cali. You got a different strut. Oh my goodness. But people had a hard time skipping, which is crazy. Shows that they didn't have a childhood, that's why. But God can call you to do some things that you never thought, and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm 70. I'm 50 right now. What am I going to do? My life is halfway over. Says who? There's so much more that you can do. And in this time, as much as technology is so available today for us, it does all the work for you, just about. So much more that you can do. Some people have been wanting to write a book. You can write one. Not only can you write one, I mean, you can just speak it on your thing and it starts typing it. It's kind of nice. We have a bathroom light that we had installed, and it's an Alexa one, because we had it had caught on fire years ago and stuff, and we just never replaced it. No, actually, we replaced it, and then the other one just burnt out, the motor burnt out, so we just got a new one several months ago, and then it's an Alexa one, you know, turn on the fan, it turns on the fan, play some music, it plays some music and stuff, and of course, I'll be jamming out. We got Roman in there. Roman will get in there. I said, Alexa, play Listener's Kids. So they'll start playing Listener's Kids on there, and then he'll go, blah, 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 blah. He'll just look at it, blah, 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 blah. Alexa, turn on the light. Then he'll. You've got so much at the palm of your hand that you can do. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it you want me to say? Who is it that you want me to mentor? Who is it that you want me to pour into? Where is it you want me to go? If you open yourself up to that, with that work hard mentality that you've always had, you can do a whole lot more than what you did in the little time than you did your whole life. At the age of 80, he was called. And he was climbing a mountain at the age of 120. You know what? He served the same God as you. Ain't no different. Served the same God. If Jesus should tarry, I would want to live a long time. I want to see my great, 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 great grandchildren. And I don't want to be one in a wheelchair. So get to work. First, in your relationship with Jesus, in his word, and in labor. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that we can put our trust in you whenever we're in doubt. When the good times and the bad times, we can always trust that you will give us the right answer for whatever we need. And Lord, we just thank you for the lives that are here, that you are constantly stirring up each and every day. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.